Mr. Withers, good morning to you.
How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You may proceed.
Thank you. Member of the Court, Chief Justice. We all understand why Mr. Zeleny's case is here. I mean, essentially he got charged with a couple of DUIs. I got on board and we're doing what we can to argue here. Essentially, in this particular case, I'm asking this court to issue a writ of prohibition telling the county court that it doesn't have jurisdiction to impose a sentence on Mr. Zeleny for driving under the influence of alcohol. Now, in this particular case, the complaint charged Mr. Zeleny with driving under the influence of alcohol by measurement of alcohol of his breath. Okay?
Was that the only allegation?
That he was driving under the influence of alcohol. And again, you can convict somebody of DUI three ways, right? If you prove that they're driving under the influence of alcohol, or they have an alcohol content of 0.08 or greater for, 210 liters of their breath, or they have a blood alcohol content of greater than 0.08 per 100 milliliters of their blood. Okay. In this particular case, though, he was charged with driving under the influence of alcohol or breath test. Okay. The third part, the blood test, wasn't included in the complaint. If you want to find him guilty, you need some evidence that he's under the influence of alcohol. And I would suggest that the factual basis in this case doesn't provide it. In every factual basis I've ever stood in front of a judge for, or heard a prosecutor say, one of the key things that's said is, based on the officer's opinion, the defendant is under the influence of alcohol. In this particular case, the factual basis doesn't include any opinion that the defendant is under the influence of alcohol. So just taking the factual basis, taking the facts as we see them, there's an accident, bloodshot, watery eyes, I don't remember all of them, slurred speech, but this is what we normally hear, right? Failed field sobriety test. It would be a leap for the court to conclude that the defendant is under the influence of alcohol. All we had to do, all the prosecutor had to do for a factual basis to be adequate in this particular case, was say, in the officer's opinion, the defendant was under the influence of alcohol. And we wouldn't have an argument here. But that didn't happen. And we can't just assume that those facts lead to the conclusion that somebody is under the influence of alcohol.
So is there still a case pending in county court?
Yes, sir.
So do you have any options there?
I think maybe the option that first comes to mind is a motion to withdraw a plea or something like that. I would suggest it's not the defendant's... Look, I think you can withdraw a plea for any fair and just reason. That impacts the defendant. Any fair and just reason for the defendant. New evidence is something that frequently comes to mind after entry of a plea and before sentencing. In this particular case, there's no new evidence. There's no fair or just reason by which the defendant should be forced to ask to withdraw a plea and essentially put himself back in the exact same position that he was before.
Counsel, after sentencing, your client has the right to a direct appeal, correct?
That is correct.
Isn't this writ of prohibition circumventing the appeal statutes?
No. And here's why I think. Because the court didn't have jurisdiction to impose a sentence. If the court had imposed a sentence, we would have waived the argument. The fact that there is no factual basis.
Counsel, if a motion to suppress is overruled and there's a trial and you go to sentencing, I know jurisdiction works differently. I get that argument. But you still preserve that motion to suppress as long as you objected at trial to the entry of that evidence for purposes of appeal. So if you objected sentencing to the court proceeding to sentencing, haven't you preserved that on direct appeal?
Well, here's what I will say. I don't know. I don't believe there's any case law in point in Nebraska. When you look at other states or the Eighth Circuit, the only appropriate remedy is to file a motion to arrest judgment. And the argument is the court doesn't have jurisdiction, which is obviously, like you pointed out, different than a motion to suppress. We're saying the court doesn't have jurisdiction to impose a sentence. I don't think it's like anything else. I think you...
Was there an objection at the time of the plea to the factual basis?
No, sir. No, sir. There was none.
Did the factual basis include some information about a blood test?
Yes, it did.
And is that information sufficient for the court to conclude therefrom that he was under the influence?
It would be if the charge or the complaint had alleged driving under the influence of alcohol pursuant to a blood test. Had the complaint charged that section of the statute, we wouldn't have an argument. But again, I don't think it's proper for the court to assume that that fact, that his blood alcohol content was nearly three times the legal limit, I don't think the court can assume that that fact is sufficient to meet what the charge was, which was driving under the influence of alcohol for 210 liters with an alcohol content greater than 0.08 for 210 liters of his breath.
Counsel, at the time, just prior to the entry of the plea, did the court have jurisdiction over your client?
Yes.
Okay. And even if this plea was thrown out, the court would still have jurisdiction over your client, correct?
Yes. Okay. You're right.
Then how is sentencing somehow jurisdictional?
The case law mentioned that the only way a court can impose a sentence over a person who's entered a plea is if they only get jurisdiction if there's a proper factual basis. The remedy, I'll just tell you what the remedy is after this. I'm going to move, if possible, I would move to arrest judgment, right? And say, and that's that when there's an inadequate factual basis, you move to arrest the judgment. That's what our statute says, and that's what case law says. And based on that statute, you arrest the judgment because the court doesn't have jurisdiction. If the court doesn't have jurisdiction, you arrest the judgment. If the factual basis doesn't match the charges in the complaint.
And that's what you did in county court, is that correct?
That's right. That's right. And that was obviously overruled. And I appealed that to Judge Schreiner now.
Did you appeal that, or did you try to get a writ of prohibition?
No, I tried to get a writ of prohibition. I believe that I tried to get a writ of prohibition and an arrest of judgment in district court. And so then what I appealed up here was, I argued the arrest of judgment was incorrect, but I think the right thing is just the writ of prohibition at this point for this court to decide.
Wasn't the arrest of judgment motion something that should have been filed in the county court after judgment?
When you say after judgment, meaning after
sentencing?
No. The case, at least in my opinion, the case law is clear. When you look at some very old Nebraska cases, you waive your right to arrest judgment if the defendant stands for sentencing.
Okay, so if the motion to arrest judgment must be filed before sentencing, and it's overruled, and there's a sentence that occurs, isn't error in the denial of the motion to arrest judgment something that's raised on direct appeal?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
So the writ of prohibition attempt is just an attempt to short-circuit the process?
Well, an arrest of judgment is proper,
I'd have to look at the law. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I understand completely with what you're saying.
Is a writ of prohibition a writ of right?
Thank you very much. Mr. Ralph, good morning to you.
May it please the court, my name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. As I set forth in my brief, the state's position is that the only primary issue on appeal is whether the district court erred in denying Laney's petition for writ of prohibition. In short, we see no error in the ruling for a set forth a three-pronged test determining whether a writ of prohibition is warranted. That's, again, set forth in my brief.
And what is that test?
So it's three prongs. Basically, one, you got to show that there would be an exercise of judicial or quasi-judicial power. Two, that the...
Did he make that first?
Yes.
Prong?
I think imposition of a sentence in a criminal case after a plea of guilty would fall within it. That's a judicial power. Two, that the exercise of that power would basically be unauthorized by law, which I understand to be a question of jurisdiction. And three, that there is no other adequate remedy, basically, to fix that unauthorized exercise of power.
So how does he do on those last two prongs?
I think he fails that. Basically, the unauthorized power or unauthorized by law, question of jurisdiction, and here the county court had jurisdiction, had subject matter jurisdiction by the filing of the complaint. Section 24.517 sub 6 says that misdemeanor offenses of county court has concurrent original jurisdiction. Had personal jurisdiction by the fact that the defendant had been arrested here before the court, entered a plea of not guilty and then guilty. And then you also had, I think a Barney case talks about, well, the exercise of the power has to be within the, you know, the legitimate powers of the court. Obviously, imposition of a criminal sentence after the entry of a guilty plea falls within the legitimate powers of the county court in a criminal case. So we think that there was jurisdiction. That's why the second prong fails. As far as the third prong, I mentioned in my brief, and I didn't really see a reply in Delaney's reply brief. There are other options other than a written prohibition to remedy any alleged error that occurred here, which, again, we don't think there was error in the original complaint.
Tell us about those other options.
Well, the other options would be a motion to withdraw plea before sentencing. That would be for a fair and just reason. After sentencing would be manifest injustice standard. There would also be, as Your Honors pointed out, the direct appeal. If there was actually error in the alleged mismatch between the complaint charge and the factual basis, that would be preserved for appellate review, something that, you know, the courts routinely address, this court and the Court of Appeals address on direct appeal, sufficiency of a factual basis to support the entry of a plea. So there's plenty of other options. The writ of prohibition is supposed to be the last resort. Basically, it's to prevent an error that can't be remedied later by appeal on a jurisdictional basis. And we don't have that. In sum, I guess, basically, the three-pronged test, I think the only issue is the writ of prohibition based on this court's decision in State v. Boyd and appellate jurisdiction, the scope of it, and the three-pronged test, he has failed to satisfy the last two prongs. Unless this court has further questions, I will submit that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the